What's up, you guys? Sean Ross at FightfulSelect.com. It's time for the Backstage Report. Without further ado, let's jump into the WWE news that we have to kind of kick things off. I had reported on Fightful Select that WWE talent were recently informed via their talent relations app that they would not be receiving the COVID-19 vaccine through WWE and that it was their own personal responsibility to schedule and get this vaccine. Now, I had a lot of misconstrued comments right out of the gate, people saying, oh, they shouldn't be able to jump the line. That's not what this was about. These talent have been told for quite some time that their medical stuff would be of their own doing. They would have to go do that themselves outside of the COVID-19 test. Now, there are several WWE talent that were surprised based on how WWE had handled the pandemic. They thought that this would be set up as maybe a make good, but that wasn't the case. And there were plenty of people I talked to that said that they weren't surprised whatsoever. It's on them to get this done. But there was a lot of frustration among talent that we spoke to who said that there are influential people near the top of WWE who actively speak out against COVID. In the days since Drew McIntyre's announcement, several other names behind the scenes in WWE had tested positive for COVID-19. Now, I do sympathize with plenty of the talent that are going there, especially the Performance Center talent that are going there 5 days a week. They're only being tested once, and they're going back. Some of them live near family. Some of them have kids. And those get spread. I mean, it's not a very safe implementation of their training system the way they have it now, but I don't think it's a big surprise that WWE is not giving or setting up, I should say, COVID-19 vaccinations accordingly. I mean, they are independent contractors in that regard, and they do assume that responsibility. Do I think that they should eventually? Yeah, I think it should be set up with the amount that these people have had to work and the danger that they've incurred and that the fact they were brought in and not tested for over 3 months before finally they got tested. 3 months. I mean, yeah, I understand that needing to be a make good for some people, but that's not the case. Well, Aleister Black hasn't been at WWE TV. You've been wondering where he's been since he got drafted to SmackDown, which was around the time his wife Zelina was fired from the company. Well, SmackDown sources told me that they've not seen him backstage at all since after the Zelina release. We haven't heard as to whether or not there were any specific issues between Aleister Black and WWE, whether it was stemming from this or not. But the person that we talked to in the company seems to think that they are letting ill will subside from both sides in a sort of an unspoken agreement. And if it is a spoken agreement, so to speak, it's not widely known within the company. It just seems like how things are right now between the two sides. But I can't speak as to why he's gone, if he's hurt, if there was an argument, if there wasn't an argument, anything like that. I just know that Aleister Black has not been at SmackDown in several months now. Well, James Storm was at Impact, but he's not there full-time. As we mentioned last week, Matt Cardona was brought in, and they said, Matt Cardona is in Impact, and he was for this set of tapings, and so was James Storm. James Storm filmed 3 matches for the show, so 2 more after the one that he had filmed with Private Party, but he was brought in specifically to work with them, and they appeared on the show as well, but he does not have a contract with Impact Wrestling. He was also at the October set of tapings, but not at the November set of tapings. So he's still on really good terms with Impact Wrestling. Is said to have been easy to work with there as well. So it's good to see him popping in and out, a former world champion able to make appearances like that. He does not have a deal with NWA, in case you were wondering. I know that he stopped appearing on the show around the time the pandemic started, so a lot of people didn't realize this, but his deal with the NWA was actually up last February. So he can do whatever he wants anyway, and I don't think he was that restricted anyway. While we're on the subject of Impact Wrestling, there were some reports last week, and I don't want to call them out by name, but that said that Taya would be working the Impact tapings following Hard to Kill. However, Impact sources had stated to Fightful that she was not present Sunday or Monday of last week at those sets of tapings. Now, I don't know her contract status. I don't know if it's expired. I don't know if it had expired, but she noted in 2020 that she signed a 2-year deal in 2019. She posted a picture of her flying out of Tennessee on Instagram on Saturday morning, but some thought that that was a red herring. But then I had it confirmed that the spot that aired on this past week's episode of Impact was taped to her flying out of Nashville, and she did not appear at those tapings. They made light of it on Tommy Dreamer's comments, rather, where he said, if she's lucky, she'll go to Jacksonville. If she's unlucky, she'll go to Stanford. I thought that was very funny. I love that. That was them having a little bit of fun, and why the hell not, man? Why the hell not? But good luck to Taya. She's going to be a big free agent if she is a free agent. She is very particular about discussions of her contract status. She did not take too kindly to those reports. I think it was last year. But if she is a free agent, she is going to be a big one, and she's probably going to be a successful one as well. So, speaking of women's wrestling and kind of circling back to WWE, Jessamyn Duke. There were so many people that were asking me about the status of Jessamyn Duke when she was not teamed up with Marina Shafir in the Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic. There was no plan for her to team with Marina Shafir in the Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic. As far as I know, she wasn't approached for it, or NXT didn't have those plans. There are no imminent plans for Jessamyn Duke to wrestle. She's not creatively figured into NXT plans or WWE Raw. I know that she and Marina appeared on Raw a few months ago for Raw Underground, but that was it. They did a few weeks there. They filmed 1 week. It didn't get used. They filmed another week, and it did get used. But other than that, she is not figured into in-ring plans for WWE right now. And that's because she is working heavily creating content for the Up, Up, Down, Down brand. Now, I know a lot of people might not quite understand this about Jessamyn, but I mean, hey, we lived about 45 minutes away from each other. I know a bit about her. She was a full-time game streamer when she was hired by WWE, and she was really happy doing that from what I remember. And when she got hired by WWE, she had to slow that down, and she had to stop that. It wasn't until deep into the WWE tenure, or at least a little bit into it, she was able to pursue that. And then when the third parties were taken away, she had to stop that. But then they brought her and Mia and Shayna and Dakota on to do stuff with Up, Up, Down, Down, and she has been contributing to that heavily. So while pro wrestling is a long-time dream for a lot of people, it's probably not necessarily for a Jessamyn Duke. But now she's creating content for one of the biggest gaming entities out there, and she's doing a really good job at it, and it's right in her wheelhouse. Got a good personality. So, I mean, while I would personally, as somebody who's watched her fight for the last decade as well, I would love to see her in the ring, and everything that I saw of her inside the ring indicated that she was picking it up pretty fast. It's not necessarily everybody's dream, so you got to let people live theirs. Well, it seems like wrestling might be the dream of Parker Baudreau. I hope I'm not butchering that name. I'm sure I am. He was backstage in NXT last week. We broke that news on Wednesday night. He is a 6'4", 300-pound offensive lineman from UCF who had previously redshirted at Notre Dame. And he bears a striking resemblance to a young Brock Lesnar. His influence from Brock Lesnar is evident as he refers to himself as the next big thing on Twitter. Paul Heyman tweeted praise towards him a few weeks ago. Shortly after I wrote this report, he followed me on Twitter, followed several wrestling fans on Twitter, was liking the tweets, effectively confirming, not completely, but effectively confirming the story. But he was there. WWE did have interest. He does have interest. I don't know how far that will go. I have heard of some other impressive athletes that have had tryouts over the last year or so that I'll be reporting pretty soon. But yeah, WWE has had their eye on him, and he has expressed his interest, and I think it's probably a pretty damn good thing because I think he would fit in pretty well there. Well, I don't think that Michael Elgin's going to fit into New Japan Pro Wrestling. So a lot of people that I spoke to when he got canned from Impact Wrestling, they figured, he'll just go back to New Japan. Well, I ran this by a lot of Impact wrestlers over the last few months, and they said that he had been telling them backstage that he left New Japan because Tama Tonga was unsafe, hitting him with a chair in the G1, And he says that tore his bicep. Elgin was critical to several people in Impact about Tama, saying that he only got a push because of his father. However, when I followed up with New Japan sources, things were much different and said that Elgin was actually fired from the company but did not specify to us why. I have not confirmed one way or another, but Tama Tonga did get on his podcast this week with Ross Berman and addressed this story and said that he had actually heard of these issues and had heard of the stories that Elgin had mentioned about heat regarding being hit with a chair. But he says that Elgin was already hurt. His shoulder was already taped up and that he was using a plastic chair so that Elgin should stop being such a bitch. You know, I do wish that I could just have Tama Tonga, for better or worse, read through any stories that I report and tell me if he thinks they are rooted in reason or not, or whether people should be upset or not. Man, that guy is just a ball of charisma. He is so real. Really, really like Tama Tonga and his entire thing that he's got going on. I also spoke to Jake Crist this past week. Check out that interview. It was a lot of fun. We talk about a lot of really neat things on that show. He has no ill will towards Impact, even though he left the company. And in my conversations with him, he said that he's open to working there again, but is exploring his options as a free agent. Said that it sucked how everything ended. Of course, his brother was implicated in the speaking out movement, but I think it is important to note that Jake was not in any way. And even before I did this interview, I followed up with some people, and I was like, hey, listen, I know that he's close to somebody who has been implicated. Is he safe to talk to? And every single person was like, yes, Jake Crist is awesome. Jake Crist is wonderful. Do this interview. And he was. Jake Crist was awesome. He was a great dude. He was very giving with his time. He spoke very highly of Impact upon his exit and said he isn't on board with people trashing a company that they spent so much time with. And said it's also important to note, don't give him a handshake. He's getting rid of the handshake, and I don't blame him. We were talking about Rhino doing the fist bump because he doesn't like to shake people's hands because people are dirty. As it turns out, he was ahead of his time. Matt Riddle doing the bro bow, ahead of his time. Jake Crist wants to get rid of handshakes backstage. You don't need to do it. I'm with him. I completely agree with him. Oh, man, if you guys have not heard my interview or seen my interview with Effie yet, you got to go watch it. Very rarely am I blown away by an interview. I was blown away by this interview. That guy's a genius. He is one of the smartest people I've ever talked to, period. Not just in wrestling, just in period. Like, he's a brilliant guy. He gets it. He understands marketing. He understands promotion. He understands so much about this. And he understands it at a level that so many don't. And so many never will. And it was one of my favorite interviews I've ever done. We spoke about GCW Fight Forever and how those blocks are set up. Because when you got a 24-hour show like that, there ain't no way that Brett Lauderdale from GCW is doing all that. Or all the themed shows. And he says that Brett is willing to delegate a lot of the responsibilities and stuff like the Big Gay Block or Big Gay Brunch, but wants to learn about that process as well. And Effie said that the speaking out movement definitely changed a lot of the ways that things would be booked, but the GCW themed events have been the easiest thing that he has ever booked. You want to hear Effie go in depth about Twitch and WWE. He straight up says that Vince McMahon is an old idiot and thanks him for being so stubborn and hating money so much that he pulled all of his wrestlers off because that made Twitch invest more in him. And he said that Vince McMahon had three great ideas in the 80s and has been given a 30-year pass ever since and surrounded with good people. And when he says it, even if you're a WWE apologist, and do I believe that Vince McMahon has only had three great ideas? No, I disagree with him there. Do I think he's been given a pass? Yes, I do. But he's also been given a lot of success. But even if you are a huge WWE like fanboy, apologist, super fan, anything, I don't want to use a derogatory term, you want to hear this out because it is at least thought-provoking. It's incredible. incredible talk. He talks about the reliance on nostalgia and their refusal to develop stars. Listen to my interview with Effie. I have one coming up with Ricky Shane Page this week as well. Oh, it's time for the injury report. And actually, the most news that we got by far was out of the Superstar Spectacle tapings from India. Or not from India, but they're for India. I mean, I guess they're for everybody, but it's targeted towards an Indian fan base. But Jinder Mahal popped up on the screen, and he said, you know what? We're ready to go. I'm healthy. I can wrestle. And he did. Oh, and so did Indu Sher, who had been off TV since June. So we got three names that had been off or like on the shelf for a long time. Really, since about the same time. Since about June. And they're back in action. Good to see Jinder Mahal back. Kavita Devi, she did not wrestle at the taping. She had ACL surgery last year. And she had it in August of 2019 and has not been back ever since. So, she did not wrestle on those shows. So, unfortunately, we didn't get a heavy update on her, but hope that she gets well soon. Only other injury update that we have was Chris Michaels. He is still on the road to recovery. You may remember I interviewed him late 2019. Indie wrestler's been all over the place. He had shoulder and bicep surgery in May and expected a January 2021 return, but has not made it back as of yet. Riho, they're hopeful in AEW that she'll be back in February if all goes well. They promoted a tournament that they hope that she can be a part of. Jason Jordan, according to Chad Gable, he's trying to make a comeback. Last I had heard, he had some grip issues. Man, I hope I see that guy back. He was getting so good. He was primed to be like a really, really great upper mid-card guy and could have just broken through. It would have been really, really good. I miss Jason Jordan a ton. We were spoiled. So many people didn't even know they were getting worked by him. He was so good. Contract updates. As I mentioned, Retribution were offered new contracts in 2020. Three-year deals, don't know if they signed it. Aramis almost signed with AEW prior to the COVID-19 pandemic, but that didn't end up working out. WWE hired a new senior VP of business and legal affairs, entertainment, and talent management. His name is Darren Traub. As far as MLW, the report is that the new deals are for 3 to 5 years with a significant pay increase. Well, almost any increase would be significant over what some of the guys were making there. But I know based on those that I've spoken with that DAZN was a major factor in that. But these people were not making a lot of money at all before these new deals. And I don't know what kind of money they're making now. Maybe I'll find out. But DAZN factored pretty heavily into that. But that's the contract updates thus far. We'll have quite a few next week as some things will come into focus. But hope you guys enjoyed the backstage report. Tell the people out in the world that you like it. Word of mouth helps us more than anything. Thank you guys. We're out.